You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. One more time, Mark chapter 4. This message today is the last message in the summer series that we have been in called But Nobody Ever Talked to Me About. We've been talking about life topics from Jesus's perspective, which is a perspective that culture largely wants to ignore today. But here's why we've been talking about these life topics: because God has a purpose for your life. Listen to me. God has custom tailored a specific purpose and plan, an assignment that's unique to you. You need to understand this. God has a purpose for your life, and we've been saying it this way all throughout this series. He's created you to live a life of impact and significance, a life of peace, joy, blessings, and harvest, where you then get all the goodness, all the life of God, all the blessings, all the peace, the joy, the promises of God poured out in and through your life, and so other people get to experience it and draw close to God as well. You got to understand, this is the future that God has for you, and He promises to give it to you. He promises to give it to you. Now, come on, who doesn't want that life? Who doesn't want the life of impact and significance? Who doesn't want the promises of God? We all do, don't we? We all want what God has for us. And I think we all at least have at least some idea, or we're beginning to at least have some kind of understanding that no matter what the world promises us, it's not going to be as fulfilling as what God could promise us. Because we have, I'm going to speak for myself, I've tried other things and they haven't worked. I think many of us have done that, right? Jesus has all of the fulfillment you need, and He promises to give it to you. In fact, just follow me here. Let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about. Watch this. This is James 4, verse 8, I'm going to read from. It says this: come close to God and watch, and God will come close to you. That's a promise. Are you seeing that? Listen to me, that's a promise. How many of you guys love the promises of God? I get stoked about the promises of God. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. And we all want that kind of close to God life, don't we? We do. Okay, but check this out, and we're gonna build on this big time with our topic today. It's also a process. It's also a process. However, most often we just really get excited about the promises. We love the promises. I'm telling you, I love the promises, and I want the promises. I want the love. I want the peace. I want the joy. I want the blessings. I want the harvest, somebody. Come on. I want it, right? And we could talk all about the promises today. We could get pumped up, and man, we could have some real happy church. And then we could also start talking about hard times and tough times, and about how you might have to endure some things before you're going to get there. And sometimes that's when people in church are kind of like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't know that that's really what God wants for me. Are you sure that's a biblical concept? It's because we love promises, but we don't love process. Or this is the way Pastor Greg says it a lot. We're not always that thrilled about the journey that God has for us. We love the promises, But the process is a challenge for us, okay? But I want to show you today, you can't receive a promise without a process. Let me just explain this a little bit, okay? Again, my family was on vacation this last week. We went to the beach, and I love the beach, church. I love it. And so I'm going to be just really vulnerable and transparent with you right now. I want the beach body. I want it, right? Who doesn't want it, right? I want the beach body. I want to look appropriately good in my swimsuit, okay? So listen, I love the beach. I love it. I want the beach body, but I also want back alley pizza. Process and promise. You see what I'm saying? Come on. You have to go through a process, eat healthy, take care of yourself, and then promise you probably have a better chance of looking ripped in your swimsuit, right? Process, listen, come close to God, and promise, God will come close to you. In fact, hundreds of times throughout the Bible, we will find promises like this where God essentially says, if you do this, then I'll do this. Come on, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will knock and the door will be. But you have to do something first and then you get to experience or live in the promise. And so here's what we've been seeing all throughout this series. In Mark 4, Jesus explains that our ability to live the life of impact and significance, to live in the promise, depends on how willing you are to go through the process. And here's the process for receiving God's promises. We have to live by what God says in his word. Come on, one more time with your Bibles open to Mark 4. We're going to look at verse 20, okay? Mark 4, verse 20. This is Jesus, and he says, and the seed that fell on the good soil, or the word of God that was heard by people with soft, open hearts, represents those who hear and accept God's word. That's the process. They choose to live by what God says. And so watch the promise they get to live in as a result. Watch the promise they get to live in as they live by God's word. They produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. The word and all of its life and all of its blessings gets multiplied in and through them. They and many other people around them receive life, peace, joy, blessings, and harvest because God poured it out through them. Church, you can't leave your past in the dust. You don't have to remain in discouragement, in disappointment, in pain, in sin, in anxiety, in regret. You can leave all that stuff behind. You can live the life that God has for you if you will open your heart and choose to live in the process God has for you. Choose to live by God's word. And so in some ways, listen, we're going to come full circle in this series this morning. In week one of our series, we talked about commitment. And about how people don't really know how to commit to anything anymore. We're losing that ability as a culture. We're letting our feelings run our lives instead. So when we don't feel like doing something, we quit. We give up. We walk away. And so I really believe God wants us to come full circle here in this series and talk about commitment again, but in a brand new way today. Because listen, our inability to commit to the process that God has for us will kill our ability to live in the promises he has for us. Are you following me? You seeing this? Okay, so friends, I was going to call this message, but nobody ever talked to me about Commitment Part 2, the sequel. But I think we've got a better way to say it and a fresh perspective on looking at it, okay? Here's the title of today's message, but nobody ever talked to me about love. But nobody ever talked to me about love. Now, if you call the gathering home, or if you've been with us for a while, you know that we have talked about love around here. We talk about love on a pretty regular basis. In fact, I'm hoping that some of you might even be able to help preach this next part right along with me, okay? You ready? Here we go. Our culture is confused about love. Our culture is confused about love. Most people today don't understand what love really is, and therefore, follow me, we don't understand what a commitment is either. Okay, we say things like, I fell in love. But that's not how it works, is it? Come on, you know this. What are some things that you do fall into? What can you fall into? Yell a little louder. Traps, wells, yes. Elevator shafts, swimming pools. Giant ravines, on a bad day you might fall in the shower, right? Have you ever seen somebody fall out of a swimming pool? It can't happen, right? It would get instantly like a million hits on YouTube. Okay, but so check this out. In spite of what culture says, you can't fall out of love either. It can't be done. When somebody tells you, I fell out of love, listen to me, that's code language for I don't feel like fulfilling my commitment to this relationship anymore. Okay, we're confused about love. And so we've been clear around here that love is not a feeling. Yes, you can get some really warm, fuzzy, lovey-dovey, fun feelings when you love someone, but you can also get some pretty hurt, ugly feelings when you love someone too. Can I get an amen? Right? Love is a choice. And here it is. It's the choice to commit and stay committed and keep being committed and not walk away from your commitment no matter what. Listen to me. In fact, we really could just break it down even further. Love is a commitment, and commitment is love. So here at The Gathering, we have a definition for the word love. And I bet, listen, it's going to come up on the screen, but I bet if you closed your eyes, some of you guys could just say this right along with me without even looking at it. Come on. Here we go. Love is wanting the highest good for someone and being willing to do your part to see it come to pass, even though it costs you something. That's love. One more time. Love is wanting the highest good for someone and being willing to do your part to see it come to pass, even though it costs you something, and it will cost you something. That's love. And friends, listen to me. That's also what a genuine commitment looks like as well. When you are truly committed to another person or to something worthy, you want the highest good for that person or for that situation. So you are willing to do your part to see that come to pass, even though it costs you something. You with me on that? Now look, for the sake of our conversation today, when we talk about love and commitment, we're talking about it from a relational point of view. As far as it pertains to God and other people, we're not just talking about arbitrary situations this morning. Just for example, I'll never forget, okay, as we were in the midst of planting this church, there have been some tough times in the midst of planting this church, especially early on as Rachel and I weren't sure what we were going to live on and finances were tight, okay? But listen, I'm not complaining. That's been a part of the process that God has had for us. Do we stay committed to the call he's placed on our lives and in the process trust that he's going to be who he says he is, that he's going to do what he promises to do? He's going to be our provider, right? And so, but check this out. In one of those difficult times, I'll never forget having another pastor come up to me and he handed me a check out of the blue and he said, "I'm committed to your success." I've never forgotten that phrase. Come on. His commitment, I hope you see this, his commitment cost him something. In this case, it cost him actual money. But come on, he committed because he loves me and you guys as well. I'm serious. He still got our back, okay? And his commitment was a demonstration of wanting the highest good for The Gathering. And so he was willing to do his part to see it come to pass, even though it cost him something. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Okay, so let's think about this then. What's the opposite of commitment? What do you think the opposite of commitment is? I'd say it's abandonment. You with me? Abandonment, okay? And listen, and we're talking about how commitment is love, right? So let's think about this. What's the opposite of love? What's the opposite of love? Hate. Most of us are saying hate, right? Yeah, I think we'd agree. Hate. And church, listen, if hate runs its course, here's what the Bible says. To hate someone is the equivalent of murder. Hate wants other people to die a violent death. And so stick with me, though. Abandonment is a hateful thing to do. When you abandon someone, you're deserting them and you're leaving them to fend for themselves. Have you ever heard the phrase, he was left for dead? In other words, he was abandoned. Watch this. Here's the dictionary definition for the word abandon. It says to leave completely and finally, to utterly forsake, desert, to desert. Church family, when we break our commitments, when we refuse or quit the process that God has for us, not only are we abandoning other people in the process, I guarantee it, but we are also forsaking the promises that God has for our lives. Let me show you what love and commitment really look like. Let me show you what they look like from God's perspective, okay? I'm going to read you a verse, and what we're about to read is what God had told his people, get this, right before they were about to enter the land he had promised to give them. Okay, so he had promised them, I'm going to give you this land, but there was a process for the promise. They had to go battle for it. I promise I'm going to give you this land. You just have to go in and battle to take it. Come on, but watch what he said to them right before they go into the battle. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. This is love, church. Watch this. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will, watch this word, never. Never, no matter what. He will never leave you, nor forsake you. Again, forsake you. He will never abandon you. And notice this, it says he will never leave nor forsake you. He won't do either of those things because there is a difference. Because listen to me, you can still be physically present with someone, but you may have abandoned them in your heart. Husbands and wives, you can breathe the same air all day in the same home, but your hearts might be 500 miles apart from each other. Church family, you can show up in church and go through the motions, but it's possible that your heart left God and his people back years ago. Now, God tells his people, I'll never leave you or abandon you. Why? Because he loves his people. He's committed to his people. He's not going anywhere. He's laid out promises in front of his kids, and he's going to be with them as they commit to the process. And can I show you where God says it to us too? Can I show you where God says the same thing to us? Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, come on, go and make disciples of every nation, everywhere. Go and take the land, he says. Go and start the harvest. Start that process and watch. Matthew 28, verse 20, and be sure of this, he says. In other words, I promise you, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Come on, he says, follow me, go make disciples with me, commit to love me, follow me, be with me, let's go make disciples. That's the process. Here's the promise. I'm with you all the time, no matter what, wherever you go. And through the process, you will discover the promises. You'll find yourself living the life of impact and significance. You'll find yourself in the midst of peace, joy, blessings, and harvest. Why? Because Jesus loves you. Because he's committed to you. He's not going anywhere. All right, so I've got two major areas in which we've got to love, in which we've got to commit, church family, if we're going to have any chance of living in the promises of God. Here's number one. We must love Jesus. We must love Jesus. And look, I know that may sound to some of us like a point that should belong in some little kid Sunday school. But here's what amazes me. I'm amazed at the number of adults who don't understand that love for Jesus, a relationship with Jesus, is a two-way thing. It's not just us getting the highest good for our lives from Jesus. We have to want the highest good for Jesus too. Come on, we must love Jesus. You have to commit to Jesus. You have to love him. You have to love what he loves and love who he loves. You have to learn to love other people the way Jesus loves other people. Friends, it should be obvious, but I just want to make it so clear. You cannot live in the promises of God if you don't love God. And again, this should be obvious, okay? But here's what I'm saying. I have been surprised at the number of people over the years that I have met that have themselves been surprised or rather disappointed when they began to discover that God is not here just to be their very own personal genie in a bottle. That God will not follow them around on a leash with a plethora of get out of jail free cards as they keep getting themselves in more and more binds as they choose to live however they want. Come on, you following me? Listen, no, the promise isn't I get to do whatever I want, live however I want based on how I feel, followed by some kind of promise that God just has to clean up all my messes and make everything okay every time I get in a bind. No, listen, if that's what you think life with God should really be like, then let me just ask, who's really the God in that scenario? You are. And you aren't God. And everyone around you knows it too, right? Come on, and listen, that's not love either. In fact, that's abandonment. That's you saying, God, I don't care that you did make me. I don't care that you did give me life to live with and for you. I don't care what you want or what you desire. I don't care what the highest good is for you. I'm going to go live my life on my own, my way. Oh, yeah, but you're still going to have to clean up my messes. Come on, that's you trying to play God. Church, do you know what it really looks like to love God? And get this, do you realize that it is possible for you? Yes, you, me too. It's possible for you to give God the highest good. Get this. Here's how you give God the highest good. Here's the highest good for God. It's when you give God the thing he cherishes, the thing he values, the thing he wants more than anything else, the thing he loves the most. It's when you give him your life and all of it. It's when you surrender your heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the highest good that you can give to God. That's what he wants the most, and it's also the highest good for you as well. And can I remind you that Jesus has already done his part so that it can come to pass in your life, even though it cost him everything. Your highest good is when you abandon your desires and your wants and your way of living, and you submit, you give your life and all of it, your wants, your desires, and your love to Jesus and everything that Jesus loves. Your highest good is your total commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. His desires, his decisions, not yours. You have to see this. Either Jesus is Lord of all your life, or he's not Lord at all. I think we can all remember the verse, John 14:15. Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Process and promise. But look, it just amazes me how many people just, oh man, like I got to obey his commandments. Look, if you love me, surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is essentially what he's saying right there. Oh man, I don't get to be in charge. He gets to be in charge. Listen, it's not a bummer. Process and promise. Process, if you love Jesus, if you will do that, you get to live in the blessings of his kingdom. You get to live under the blessings of his lordship and his rule. It doesn't get any better than that. It's exactly what we read in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus just lays it out so clearly. Only those who accept or commit to live by his word, only those who love him and obey him will receive the promises of God. Friends, when you commit to that process, that's when you open yourself up to begin receiving and living in the promises of God. Number two, we must love the local church. Whew, that one puts a smile on my face. Come on, how many of you guys just love the local church? I'm telling you, I love me some church. I love the local church. I love the church. I love getting to be the church with you guys. I love the way we do the gathering. I love churches all around us. I love the church in every one of its forms. I love Pop Sunday. I love being the 2006, yeah, go, yeah, yeah. I love being the 2016 Harvey County Demolition Derby champions with you guys. That's some church right there. Man, I love that we're handing out candy in the parade. I love the impact we're having on our community around us. I love the way we're able to be a blessing to our community. I love the blessings that are taking place right here, that lives keep getting healed and changed and people keep stepping more and more into their destiny. It doesn't get any better. The local church is the hope of the world. I love it. Jesus loves it too. I mean, Jesus loves church. He loves the church and he loves this church. He loves church like we're having right now. He loves churches all around us. And so this may be tough for some of you to hear, but you need to understand, you will not live in the promises of God. You won't experience the life of impact and significance if you don't love the local church as well. You have to understand, if you truly love Jesus, then there is no other option. Because if you truly love Jesus, then you are a part of the church. It makes no sense to say that you love Jesus, but then abandon or be negative toward or be cynical about or even be perhaps lazy with or unengaged with the very thing that Jesus Christ died for you to be a part of. We gotta love the church. We're like Jesus. We are to love and be committed to the church. And I'm talking about loving the church, loving all the people in the church, and loving the mission of the church as well, which means you then love everybody else outside of the church, because the mission of the church is to help everybody that's not in the church come be a part of the church. We are to live as disciples who are saved, changed, and on mission, helping other people get saved, changed, and on mission so they can also experience the impact and the significance, the peace, the joy, the blessings, and the harvest as well. But right now, we are at a point where so many church people don't know what it truly means to love the local church. We've got a warped view of what it means to be committed to the church. In fact, many church people today don't ever make a commitment of any kind. This is actually where church hopping comes from. Because rather than make a commitment, here's what people do. They simply attend a church so long as it's convenient to or agrees with their own feelings and their own personal preferences. You following me? Well, I can't tell you the number of people, even in the last 4 years, who came up to me either at Norm's Coffee Bar when we used to meet over there, or what's now Back Alley, or even just here at the ticket booth, and they say things like, I love this church! This is the best! God has called me here! Then about 3-6 months later, maybe a year later, they gone. Maybe they fell out of love. No. Rather, come on, listen, when something didn't line up with their preferences or with their feelings, or maybe when a decision was made that it wasn't the decision they would have made, or even just sometimes when life happens to them, here's what they do. They leave. They leave. It's because they never made a commitment. Here's what they did. They chose to attend so long as it was convenient to their own feelings and preferences. Friends, please hear me on this. Listen, your commitment, your love for the local church is a part of the process that God has for you so that you can experience and live in the promises He has for you. Ed Funderburk, who preached here last month. You guys remember Ed Funderburk, our pastor friend from Gateway? He says this. He says, when God gives you a church home, don't ever leave based on your preferences. Things like, oh, I just wish they played a different style of worship music. Or, oh, I didn't like that decision the leadership made. I would have made a different decision. I'm out of here. Or even, I just don't understand why they don't offer that specific ministry that I want. You guys see what I'm saying? He says, don't leave on those preferences or those feelings. He says, this is the only time it's acceptable to leave a church right here, okay? When things are unethical, unbiblical, or illegal. And I would agree with that, right? Okay, and there's one other circumstance. When you and your church family, the leadership around you, when you are all in unity about the fact that God is now calling you onto something else. Okay, that's when it's acceptable to leave a church. And honestly, it's fun when you can leave that way. Because not only are you getting called onto something else that God has for you and you're pursuing more of the call that He has on your life, but when that happens under those circumstances, not only do you get to leave with God's blessing on your life, but you get to leave with your church family's blessing on your life. It's a beautiful thing. Again, I really want you to see this morning. Your commitment to, your love for the local church is a part of the process that God has for you so that you can live in the promises He has for you. Because, listen, the process with the church, The process that God has for the church in your life is twofold. One, your life changes as you join the church family in helping others become a part of the family of God. That will change your life. And then number two, in the process, God uses his church to help you continue to become more like Jesus. Let's talk about that first part, okay? Here's the first part. Part of the process is God using the church to help you become a disciple so that you can live on mission, so that you can begin to discover what it really means to make a meaningful, significant impact in the lives of others as God uses you to help draw them near to his heart. That'll change your life, okay? But you know what blows my mind? And I hope you see the irony in this. Okay, as a church today, not just our church, but this is just rampant in the church, we think we can enjoy the presence and the promises of God apart from the mission of God. Listen to me. We think we can enjoy the presence and the promises of God apart from having to do what he tells us we're to go do. Listen, we just read, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Well, where do you think he's at, and what do you think he's doing when you're trying to draw close to him? I'll tell you where he's at. I'll tell you what he's doing. He's on the mission field trying to make some more disciples. He's trying to save more of his kids. He's all over this town working on Newton Reborn. He's here on Sunday morning hanging out with and serving with Team Reborn. Come on, he shows up at Neighborhood Gathering with a green bean casserole ready to contribute. He goes to Connect. He's helping other people get connected to their purpose in his mission. Our God is on mission. Listen, we like to picture God. We like to picture God on his throne. And yes, he is. Okay, he's on the throne, okay? But so sometimes when we think about, I'm going to get close to God, we like to picture ourselves perhaps, you know, like bowing at the feet of God while he's on his throne, or maybe we're in the throne room and we're just mentally picturing ourselves giving him a hug, okay, which is beautiful. Don't stop doing that. Keep picturing yourself drawing close to God in that way. But you need to understand the throne room is the mission HQ. Come on, the throne is where the king sits, and our king is orchestrating the entire mission for the planet from his throne. So, this is a good preaching, somebody. Come on. I'm telling you, it's the mission HQ right there. And listen, we just saw in Deuteronomy that a good king leads his people into the land he wants them to take. He leads the way. Jesus will lead, our Father will lead the way onto the mission field. That's where he's at. You've got to get on mission to experience the promises. Your commitment and your love for the church gets you in the process of joining Jesus on his mission. And that is where the impact and significance that you are looking for is found. Here's the second part of that. Again, I'm going to be real blunt in the way I just say this, okay? Part of the process that God has for the local church in your life is to help you get healed. God uses his local church, not just the church, he uses a local church to help you get healed. God wants to use the local church in your life to help you discover and then root out and conquer your own sin that you're dealing with. God wants to help you discover and see the wounds and the hurts that you have on the inside, so that with the help of the local church, you can get healed and you can get set free. That way you can actually experience and enjoy peace and joy and blessings and harvest. But if we're real honest this morning, most of the time, we don't commit to or love the local church is because of our own woundedness on the inside. It's our woundedness that keeps us from willingly make the choice to commit to and love the local church. Because, listen, if you stick with the local church long enough, God, in his grace, will orchestrate, and he will bring about situations where your wounds, your pain, your insecurities, and your sin, where those things can be exposed so that he can begin to give them the proper healing they need. But so often, rather than go through the process and face the pain and the hurt and the sin, here's what so many people do. They simply run from the church instead. Sometimes then they even get angry with or they blame the church, when the truth is they just don't want to have to confront their own hurt, their own sin, and their own brokenness. Listen to me. It's so much easier to blame the church or blame a church or a pastor than it is to confront your own sin and your own brokenness. But if you refuse the process, you won't live in the promises. Speaking of Ed Funderburk, again, for those of you guys that remember, he preached here about a month ago, and he was on staff at Gateway Church for a number of years, just a wonderful church that we love. And Ed shared a story with us, a very personal story, about how he had been abused terribly as a kid. And that how that abuse obviously left him wounded. And so sometimes that woundedness would then express itself. If you remember, he said it expressed itself in just wild rage. And so he shared about how one time his boss, his pastor at Gateway, had unknowingly pushed his buttons just a few too many times. And in a rage, Ed responded by dragging him across a desk and was about to punch him in the face. Okay? Now listen to me. Here's what his pastor did. Actually, let me say it this way. Here's how the local church responded to the circumstance which allowed for Ed's woundedness to be exposed. They didn't fire him. They didn't run him off. Here's what the church did. Here's what his pastor did in that moment. He leaned in and he gave Ed a huge hug. But he said this. He said, "Ed, you can't be a pastor on staff here at Gateway with this kind of hurt in your life right now. You can't be in leadership with this kind of pain on the inside. We need to hit pause so that we can get you healed up." Listen to me. The local church didn't run him off. They didn't tear him apart. They didn't fire him. No. But listen, they also didn't ignore the wound. Here's what they did. They got him wonderful Christian counseling so that he could receive the healing that he needed. But you need to hear this. Ed still had to make the choice to submit to the process. He could have done like so many people do. He could have gotten offended. He could have stayed angry. He could have let his woundedness run his life, his feelings run his life. He could have taken off, separated himself from the church that loves him, and then blamed the church. But no, we know this. This is what Ed did. He submitted to the process, and he got the healing he needed. And get this, we all know this because we're benefiting from this. God is still using him to this day to live the life of impact and significance as he builds up and strengthens the church. Come on, he's living in the promises. He didn't quit the process, and he's getting to experience the promises. I'm telling you, come on. Family, do you want the life of impact and significance? Do you want to be able to live in the promises of God? Who wants it? I want it. I want everything that God has for me. Do you want it today? Where are you at in the process? What's your process look like right now? What's your commitment to and love for Jesus and his church really look like right now? Where are you at with that? Are you committed? Listen, even if things don't go your way, are you still committed? Even if maybe leadership makes a decision here at church that wouldn't have been the decision I would have made, are you still committed? Even if you don't feel like it some days, are you still committed? Even if it requires you to dig deep and allow Jesus to root out that pain and those wounds and that sin so that you can get healed and get set free, because I'm telling you, there are promises on the other side. Maybe today is the day of struggle. Maybe if you're honest, there's some pain or there's some wounds. But I'm telling you, maybe today's the day where you're feeling like, man, I just feel like quitting right now. But I know this, God would say, you are not a quitter. You are my kid. That's who you are. And we are in this together. I've got you. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Stick with me. Stick with the process. Don't give up, he would say. We can make it through this together, he would say. I've got a future for you, he would say. Some of you have been sticking with God's process for your life, and you're beginning to remove yourself, or you're coming out of the struggle, and you're beginning to experience some of the promises, and you know what I'm saying is true. This is how good our God is. Listen to me, everybody. This is how amazing our God is. Our God is so good. He lives outside of time, which allows him to see your past, present, and future all at one time. He can see all of it. Okay, so listen. Today, in your present, today might be the day of struggle. Today might be a day where you've got some pain. Today might be a day where you're feeling like quitting. Today might be the day where you're dreaming for more. You're longing for more. You're saying, God, what is there? Come on, I need your help. Listen to me. Cry out to him today. Don't give up. Don't quit. Today's the day. Cry out to him. Ask him. Seek him. Come on, go after him. Love him. Commit to him. Join him where he's at. Join his mission. Go after him. Cry out to him. And you can ask God, I need the answer. I need the promise. And this is how good our God is. He will meet you right here and now in the present, in the process, as you stick with it. You can experience God's presence in the process. And then this is how good he is. Because he can see your future and he knows what's best for you, he can take the promise, the answer to your prayer, and come over here into your future and place it at just the right point. So that as you stick with the process, and because of the process or the journey that you go through with God, not in spite of the process, but because of the journey you go through with God, as you approach that promise, you'll actually be ready. You'll actually be equipped, healed up, and able to handle the promise that God pours out into your life. You'll actually be able to live in it and enjoy it. You'll experience the significance, the impact. I'm telling you, on that day, and even in the process moving forward, you will continue to experience more peace, joy, blessings, and harvest. But you got to stick with that process. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Come on, family. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What's he telling you right now? Look, maybe some of you really have, you've stuck with what God has told you to do, and you're coming out of some struggles and you're experiencing some promise. We're praising God with you. We're proud of you. God's proud of you too. Maybe today you are in the struggle. Maybe there's some pain if you're honest. Maybe there's some wounds. Maybe there's some sin we're stuck in. We love you. We're proud of you too. Come on, God's proud of you too. And I know this, he's saying today, don't quit. I believe he's saying this, dig in like you've never dug in before. Dig in like you've never dug in before. Go after God like you've never gone after him before. He's got promises laid out in front of you. He's got life in front of you. This isn't your end. No, this doesn't have to define you. This sin doesn't have to be a sin you're stuck in forever. Oh, God has life for you. What's your commitment to him really look like? What's your love for Jesus really look like? Do you want the highest good for him? What if you commit right now? Jesus, I want the highest good for you, and I'm willing to do my part. I want my whole life in your hands. So I'm committing like I've never committed before. I'm going to stick with the process. I'm going to dig deeper with you. There is more church in front of you. Come on, tell him today. And look, you have permission today. You need the answer. You need the promise. Cry out to him and ask for it. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open for you. You can cry out to your God. He may be so gracious that he could pour that promise out today. He may place it in your future at just the right time. And I guarantee it'll be the right time. But don't abandon the process. Come on, what do you need? You have permission to ask your God. Stick with him. You can live in the promises. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful family. I thank you for what you are doing in our midst, meaning what you are doing even in lives right now. And I do pray, Lord, I pray for this family that Lord, you promised to give us peace that surpasses understanding, that there can be chaos around us and you can give peace. So Lord, I thank you that we don't have to wait forever to receive peace. I pray that your peace would come over your people now, no matter where they're at, no matter what they're experiencing and going through. Pour out your life. Pour out your faithfulness, Lord. Pour out your promises. And we commit together to follow you, to remain with you, to become, Lord, as you lead us, the people you want us to be. We commit to your word. We commit to your church. Have your way in our lives. And church, you need to know this. This church right here is on the edge of harvest. God's getting ready to do something amazing in our midst. And it's going to take not just a pastor or two. It's going to take the local church. It's going to take you and me. It is no accident that you are here. God has a purpose for you. He's got harvest in front of you. You get to be a part of it. You're going to experience impact and significance like you can't imagine as you stick with God. Lord Jesus, let it be so. Let your blessings pour out in this family and through this family. Let this city be reborn. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. And my whole family said, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.